Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. June 10, 2020. My thoughts on Twitter June 10, 2020. Big offices will disappear. Working from home will be the norm. Big cities will shrink, and offices will be converted to housing. Big companies, global business, big banks, and the financial system will disappear. Banks will only finance commerce and manufacturing. Countries will be self-sufficient. What to expect? The falsehood of the current system is becoming obvious. The unemployment rate will not fall. Pension funds will not survive. Flights and meetings will not be restored. All meetings and conferences will be held over video. Mass tourism will completely die out. Most hotels will be closed. Hatred can only be cured by love, which covers all transgressions. There is no love, but you can attract this force from above. We will have to learn to love. There is no choice. With many nationalities living in the US, a real Babylon, how can we come to a common agreement? Only through love. Love does not require intelligence. I simply love, no explanation. This should be clear to every one of the 8 billion people. It requires no preparation. Our generation is ready to listen and understand that the solution can only be found in love. Either we unite or die. The riots that broke out in America are spreading all over the world, and will not subside. New viruses and terror will come, all just to lead us to love. There is no reason to love, but I know that if I don't, I will be finished, and so will this world. In our time, only love can save us, that is, unity above all differences. Even if there is nothing I like about my child, I still love him. Love knows no laws, love covers all crimes. This is the kind of love we need to learn. Revealing love means revealing that there is a force in the world that unites us above hatred. Thus, hatred becomes manifest in order for us to have the need for love. Without love, hatred cannot be corrected. These two forces reveal and complement each other. We were told at Mount Sinai, if you don't unite, this will be your burial place. We are required to execute the law of nature, unity. Total unity is called love. Nature will bring us to it by any means. Therefore, salvation lies only in love, connection above any rejections. What is the reason for the unrest that is happening now in America and China? The Creator wants to show us that the only thing we lack is love. We need to search and find this force of love, because only with it can we achieve such a connection when everyone will be happy. We need to build life not based on the old model but in a whole new way. Anyone who is not currently an essential worker for society does not have the right to break quarantine. We must not return to the old world, but learn to live in a new world with the coronavirus. Currently, across many countries, quarantine is gradually lifted, and people are happily rushing back to shops and restaurants. A week later they will see a new surge in infection rates. We are trying to return to the old life, but this is a big mistake that will cost us dearly. The world has entered a period when every day there is a growing responsibility to start the correction. Coronavirus, unemployment, and other impending problems and unrest are compelling us to it. Baha'u'llah, I merited spiritual attainment only because I cared about revealing it to my generation. Unlike still, vegetative, and animate, at the human level there is a special kind of egoism made by the Creator, which prevents me from perceiving things outside of myself as having the right to exist unless they benefit me. Thus, the only way to correct it is by covering the opposite with the quality, the power of love. New Life 1230. The Individual versus National Institutions.
Shalom lachem, todah shatem.
Hello everyone, thank you for joining us today. This is our
New Life series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello. This is show number 1230, and our subject for today is how a person contends with social systems. So, look, this is the coronavirus era, which brings with it many dilemmas, many problems, and I want to bring up something that touches upon many people. It's said that it's so dangerous these days. These days are so dangerous health-wise and also regarding the economy. We need to listen to all the instructions of the health department and the government and to observe them, to do what they say, regardless of what we want. Otherwise, there'll be anarchy and catastrophe here. On the other hand, there is an opinion saying that, look, all these departments have their own interests. The the health ministry has its own interests, and etc. But I have my own considerations, my own family, my business, and so on. And it's not that I have to always trust the establishment 100%, right? With all due respect. So we live between these two poles. Now, I think systematically, it's clear to me that if everyone does whatever they want, then it'll be madness. But I can also understand the pain of people who think otherwise. So inside, within this very complex state, I want to consult with you to ask you, how do you see these things? Love, I actually agree with you to an extent. We are in a state where, sadly, society, government, they all received egoistic educations. And so each one can listen and believe others only to a limited extent. Very limited. What the ministers say and the government as a whole, we understand that it's all all coming from their own arguments, their inner conflicts. It's all clear, and we get the results of it. So there's no truth in it. There's nothing there that's in our best interests. It's to the extent that it's worthwhile for them to feed us so that we vote for them, give them more of an opportunity to argue amongst themselves and to divide the cake. That's all true. But we are parts of a society. And we're also participants, whether we want to or not. So we cannot just disregard it and say, nah, not that. But what they say, we also have to accept up to a point. I don't believe what they say 100%, of course. And I wouldn't follow their decisions, really. But what choice do you have? This is government. You have laws governing how you can replace government, so follow the laws and replace it. But so long as we are within this framework of nation and government, we have to listen and to obey, even though I don't want to, even if I understand that it's not right. But if each individual sets his own laws, his own rules, and behaves according to those, then there would truly be a complete lack of order, and the country will disintegrate. Owen, another point that's very painful, and I want to hear your opinion about it. It's regarding trust. In the time of the corona crisis today, there are many people. Well, let's take the sector of the business owners, the independents. These people, some, feel that the nation, the government betrayed them. Not all, but some. Why? He says, I own a business independently. In effect, I'm the engine of the Israeli economy. If I didn't exist and other such business owners didn't exist, the country wouldn't have what it has today. It wouldn't be where it is today. Now comes the crisis, the Corona crisis, and smote me. I'm running out of business, and like in the army, you never abandon a soldier in the field. So what happens now? Comes this, here comes this crisis, destroys my business, can't provide for my family. I feel that this is a personal disaster. Now, previously I worked and I paid taxes, and then national money pots, right, grew because of me. Now, when I have this crisis, nobody's caring for me. Now, I don't want to analyze it if it's right or not economically. I put that off to one side. I ask you, on the emotional level, a person who feels that the country betrayed him in that way, how should he relate to it? Love, why did it betray? Where did I sign such a contract with you saying that if some upper force comes, as we say in the insurance companies, like the hand of God, and if something happens, I come and pay you? I'm not an insurance company. I can't now give billions of shkalim, of shekels in reparations and compensations, etc. Where will I take it? And why do I have to? If somehow I can sort all these businesses and say those are essential, those aren't, something happens, and I must first of all make sure to sustain those that deal with the basic sustenance, right? Food. I have to make sure the hospitals stay standing, right? Medicines have to come in. I have to maintain the army, even though it's all much harder than in regular times. There are essential things: food, army, and health. Without that, we cannot continue. So how can I now compensate all these little business owners that come to me and demand that I help them? And forcefully, they have this strong feeling that I owe them. Why? The coronavirus isn't a partner of mine, which damaged you. I'm not responsible. I'm not responsible for the operations of the upper force, right? The government organizes our lives on the corporeal level. And the coronavirus is above the corporeal plane, you could say. Nobody could say when it'll happen, how it'll happen, if it'll happen. We never had a tax that we collect in case of something like this happening. So where will government take that money from? Also, we understand that now when we return to the regular, normal life, we will have 30% at least of people who were employed before. They will be now unemployed. They won't have work, because no one will now want some special cosmetics, some fancy clothing, some fancy cars flying every which way, and so on. Now we want what's necessary, what's crucial. Most of the people, and those people who owned businesses, they had some of the cream, right? Everyone knows this. So why do we have to give them, first of all, and to resuscitate these businesses, which we're pretty certain there is no need for? We don't need them. If it's a business that has to do with, let's say it's a bakery or agriculture and so on, of course, because that supplies basic necessities to the public. But high fashion, expensive cosmetics, such things, I don't think. I think that thousands of hairdressers' shops, barber shops, will stand empty, even though they were given the okay to open, and things which aren't basic sustenance. So I don't agree with those independents all shouting. I heard on the news that on television I saw the owner of the Mashbila Tzarchan, someone owning a business called the Mashbila Tzarchan, he yelled, why aren't they helping? He demanded help. So he was asked, why? Is this an absolutely crucial business without which we cannot persist? Who knows what will happen? How do I now empty out the government funds, government accounts, if I don't know what happens tomorrow? If half the country remains unemployed, what will I do? So, I don't think that the country, the nation has to run around business owners and cover their expenses now. Owen, okay, you look at it from a systematic perspective, and I can understand this. I can understand. I do the same, generally speaking, but I'm not an independent business owner. Now, I have a neighbor whose business is tourism. And this season, he crashed and burned to the tune of hundreds of thousands of euros. Now, I ask myself, not with a social modal, not a global kind of perspective, which I agree with 100%. I now look at him. There is a person here with a family. The world just broke down around him. It's in ruins. He sees no hope in the future either. He sees no future. Now we, as a nation, as a country, can we somehow provide a person in such a personal crisis some anchor, some hope? Aren't we responsible for everyone? Regardless of if he's independent or not. These are people. So can't we generate some feeling that everything will be all right? I mean, love. So you're talking about basic income, right? Basic necessities that should not be denounced nor praised, as we say. What he needs to live, right? For his children to be sated, well fed, clothed, go to school, all those things, so he can cover these the necessary expenses of the household, of the family. And if besides that we can also give him some work to do, then we give it to him. And for what he receives, he needs to give something back. But it's not that we commit to him, that we will reestablish his business, which has no future as of now. Owen, so if I understand you correctly, your perspective, you do see in the horizon some advancement towards a state that gives a person greater confidence and moving on towards financial models where even if I'm not a great millionaire and great business owner, I have something to eat, me and my family, my children. I have a roof over my head, the basics, as you said, health, healthcare, the things that every person needs. So the Israeli society will say to every individual, that's on me. That we give you. We don't help you with the business and all of that. That's too much for us. But you can be calm. You will not starve to death. Is that how you see the country running in the future? Not exactly, but to an extent. I want that person to work. I don't want him to sit idly at home like now in the coronavirus crisis. Rather, he should do something that's important for the society. He should engage in social connection, social cohesion, and each one can do that. And then when he receives some basic income from us, it's worthwhile for us to have such a person with us. and he won't be called unemployed then. Owen, so you're saying that we need to establish the country in such a way where each and every person can stop being concerned about his own existence. He will get from society whatever the society deems is necessary, right? Love, yes. Owen, now you talked about money, things, emotions related to money and economic future. There is the individual, me as a citizen of the state, I have a job, I have children, I have taxes and so on. I have things around me, and there are systems that are supposed to serve me. The health system, the police, the courthouses, the schools, all these things are supposed to service me. Right? So we're living in a state where gradually, not only here in Israel, but all over the world, we begin to see that the individual is beginning to lose his trust in the establishment. Right? He doesn't think that the establishment truly thinks about him and his best interest. He thinks mostly that the people seated up there think about their own personal interests. If it also coincides with him doing well, then fine. But if not, they care for their own interests. So how should we treat this crisis of trust forming between the civilians and the states today? No. Again, those people who have no work, we give them work, public work to do. We educate them towards an integral connection in the country, and then they become a great force within the society. And this force understands that only together we can change society so as to make it more friendly, more interconnected, more closely knit. And by that we bring into the society new energy, new strength. And this new strength is worth a lot of money. Owen, so if I understand your approach, you think that it is possible to revive the trust between the individual and the establishment? No, until these establishments change by themselves. But these people that we educate now to correct the society needs to be interconnected, integral. These people will change by their power, by their view. They will change the society, and mostly the government. Owen, so the time of the coronavirus, do you think it requires a new conception of the connection between the individual and the state? Yes, of course, a person must feel that he is a part of the state, a part of the nation, and he has to be in good connection with all the rest of the people of the nation, and from that power of connection that they attain, that's what builds the country. Owen, but what about the establishment of the state institutions, which aren't very well trusted now? Love, we will change them through this new approach. Owen, so state institutions, what new approach do they have to adopt with respect to the citizen? Love, the citizen is part of the nation, part of the people, and we establish the people through the connection of the individuals. Owen, but the institutions, what new approach do the institutions need to develop with respect to the individual? Love, all the institutions, all the state institutions have to serve the citizens in order to make of them one single body. Owen, what does it mean to make of them a single body? Love, that they are all connected towards one goal, which is to create themselves as an integral society. Owen, how do you define an integral society? Love, they understand that only through a good connection, above all the conflicts and the egoistic outbreaks, only this connection brings us completion, wholeness in the nation, in the people, and that drives off all the problems. Owen, when you talk about connection, I see that today people and institutions and all the systems, they aren't very well connected. Each one is pulling towards his own side, his own interest. In any corporation, any interaction, you always see that one pulls towards his own interest and the other his interest. Sometimes our interests coincide, but when you talk about this time of Corona having to take us towards being a greater, a more interconnected society, but right now people connect to their own interests. So what connection are you talking about? Our connection is called an integral connection only if we see that through the connection between us, all of us, in our common center between everyone, there we can find a point of connection, which is the same point of connection for everyone. We all connect in such a way where there are no sides, no corners or angles, there are no factions and political parties, there's just one society. And its center is the force of connection and love between us. Owen, how can we begin to advance from today's reality towards such a state where indeed, as you said, there are no sides or corners, there is only this one central point? What's there at that central point? What connects all these ends together, making it something round without corners? Mutual commitment, mutual responsibility, mutual security, and the necessity for it, as we have no choice, because only in this way we can rise above our ego and reach a state where we are all connected together. And then we attain in the connection between us what we call the power of connection, love, mutual integration. And this power is called the upper force, the upper power, the creator. Owen, the things you say are beautiful, but what's unclear to me is, okay, what you described to me, this interconnected round image, is that at the end of the path? Where is it in relation to us? Where is that place? It's at the end of the path, and we will need to gradually approach it in stages. And throughout these stages, we will see what happens to us. That's how we will advance. And if not through this virus, then another will come. Other blows will land. And it's like the 10 plagues in the Exodus from Egypt. It's very similar. Owen, where are we today with respect to that picture of the plagues of Egypt? Owen, the plagues are coming out to a better place. Where are we? Of the first plague. Owen, so you think the coronavirus is the first plague? Love. Yes. Owen, so what can we learn from it? Can we spare ourselves the next blows? Love. No, we can't spare ourselves those blows. They will come. But we can be better prepared for it. We need to understand that each such blow corrects us. And we will need to go through them, yes. Owen, so the coronavirus, what, as you see it, what does it fix? Love, the coronavirus is the first blow. If you could say it like that, these things are pretty vague as of yet. We cannot differentiate the blows. We can't tell one blow from another. But we will see later. The coronavirus gave the whole world a feeling that we're in a global world now. The coronavirus set us up in such a way where, whether we want to or not, we all had to adopt the same mode of behavior. The coronavirus brought us the feeling that if you do not help others, you may be harmed. And more things besides. And this, it paralyzed the world. It struck us in the head, over the head, and we're now surrendering before the coronavirus. But the question is, how do we rise back up again? How do we continue? How do we help each other to emerge from it? During the time of the blow, the plague, we are willing to assist each other to an extent, for lack of choice. But when we awaken, when we get back up, we return to this general disregard and a state where each one is concerned only about himself. So here comes the question. If we don't do something, then another coronavirus will come and another blows will come. But even with the first blow, we still don't exactly understand what it was about, what it is about. Because we're thinking only about the financial problems, but no, it's a different problem altogether. It's also the way a person relates to the world, the way people relate to life. The fact that we left nature and we're now just destroying it, and then we see, we stop ruining nature, we left it a little bit, being in isolation as we were, and we see how nature is flourishing. Animals are coming out of the forest and so on. Species are returning. We see how we used to absolutely oppress nature. So we will have other things happening from the inanimate level and the vegetative and the animate levels. Oh, and so our time is running out. I want to ask you, from heart to heart, you painted here a picture of a goal, a far distant one, which I think is beautiful. Everyone is connected together without corners and sides and without all the tricks, just connected truly. Now, I, as an individual, hearing you, what can I do to support this process of advancement, to make one step forward? For now, see what nature does to us and how people cannot respond to it correctly, cannot react correctly, and understand from this that we need some learning, and then try to deliver this learning to the whole of humanity. Oh, and I will try. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for being with us. New life, learning to live well. Bye.
Kabbalistic terms. The quality of Hasidim. Question. There is a concept in Kabbalah of the quality of Hasidim, Hesed. What does it mean? Answer. Hesed is a property of bestowal. When such a quality arises in creation or a man aspires to it, we use the term Hasidim. Question. It turns out that all of Kabbalah is about giving and receiving? Nothing else? Answer. There is nothing else. In our world, everything consists of plus and minus. All our thoughts consist of reception and bestowal. Question. So, there are only two actions in society, either I receive from society or I give? Answer. Absolutely correct. Comment. But it seems like there's a lot more. My response. No. Everything still consists of these two directions. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah. June 17, 2019. Two Trends in the Life of the Jewish Diaspora, Part 2. Antisemitism, the Law of Preservation of the Jewish People. Question. Christianity is a religion millions of people have converted to. And it has always been claimed that specifically Jews avoided this. And suddenly, Jews themselves began to convert to Christianity. It would seem that everyone should be happy that they finally understood who the real God, the Messiah, is. And here, we have the opposite. Why were the nations of the world not happy that Jews were becoming Christians? Answer: it was not a question of whether they were happy or not. It does not depend on the people or their rulers. It depends on the upper force that has a predetermined goal. If you advance toward this goal, then everything is fine. And if you deviate or go in the opposite direction, you naturally get these rebounds. Even at the time of the exile of the Jews from Spain, Queen Isabella said to the Jews who begged her not to chase them out of the country, "Why do you address me? You must turn to the Creator. He does everything, not me." Remark: a great sage, close to the royal couple, Don Yitzhak Abarbanel, wrote that Queen Isabella said, "The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord like streams of water, wherever he wants, he directs it." And added, "Do you think that what has fallen to your lot comes from us? The Lord has put it in the heart of the king?" Answer: how low have the Jews fallen so that the Spanish queen must explain the Torah to them, that everything is in the hands of the Creator and not in the hands of the king? Remark: after about 300,000 Jews were exiled from Spain, a severe regression began. My reply: more than 500 years have passed since then, but Spain has never recovered. It used to be the most prosperous country. Remark: the neighboring countries that accepted the Jews said, "Thank you for them, King Ferdinand." Why did he have to drive them out? Something irrational happened. Everyone understood that it was not necessary to do this because their entire economy was managed by Jews and managed well, in favor of the elite itself. On the other hand, they had already converted to Christianity and there was no problem. And suddenly, something incomprehensible happens, some sort of a law turns on. My reply: the supreme law. The upper force. If the Jews had remained there, they would have completely disappeared. This way, by arousing hatred against them and chasing them from place to place, it was possible to preserve this people in order to lead them to a state when, in our time, they can already lead the whole world toward the goal. For more on this topic, read my books Like a Bundle of Reeds, Why Unity and Mutual Guarantee Are Today's Call of the Hour, and The Jewish Choice, Unity or Anti-Semitism, Historical Facts on Anti-Semitism as a Reflection of Jewish Social Discord. From CabTV's Systematic Analysis of the Development of the People of Israel, July 29, 2019. The Wisdom of King Solomon: God Made Man Straight. God made man direct, but people seek many tricks. The direct path is very difficult because it is in complete contradiction with our egoism. How can we go on it? We are always trying to do something for ourselves. And for our own sake, it is always against others. And so a direct path is impossible. Like a sailboat that sails into the wind but at an angle and always maneuvers in such a way that it is possible to go as if against the wind, but forward, so should a person. That is, you have to maneuver and move forward, but this is not easy. Comment: but still, it says here that God made man direct. My response: God made a person direct, this means the prototype of a spiritual person. But in fact, when a person appeared in our world, he was absolutely the opposite. And now how am I supposed to reach that goal that I cannot come to in a direct way? It is not my nature. I have already fallen from it. So, I'm going, constantly adjusting myself to it, correcting a little, falling, rising, and maneuvering in a crosswind. Question: what about the tricks of other people? All these egoistic games of ours? Answer: no, these are all egoistic tricks, they do not move us toward this goal. I understand this goal, I understand the impossibility of coming straight to it because I have a completely different internal state. I am an egoist, not an altruist, like the goal itself to which I must come. Therefore, I move all the time, tacking. Question: does King Solomon even talk about the selfish man of our world? Answer: no. He cannot go forward. He does not move, but revolves all the time around himself, his beloved. Question: for how long? Answer: until on some cycle he realizes that it is nevertheless necessary to move. Question: tricks to the direct path? Answer: tricks against himself, against his egoism. Question: is this what a person should understand? Answer: yes. And then he will go forward. This is already wisdom. Because he understands his nature, understands that he must go against it, but is not able to take a direct path. And so he can still dodge it and with its help, maneuver, and reach the goal. Question: do you maneuver? Answer: no one can go straight. In Kabbalah all the more so. It tells how to maneuver, how to use several forces, how to overcome dissents, ascents, how to deceive egoism. Question: that is, Kabbalah also teaches this, how to deceive your egoism. Answer: of course. This is a necessity. But this makes a person wiser. He applies both egoism and altruism together, and so goes forward. From CAB TV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, December 23, 2019. In one energy field. Question: will recognizing that I depend on someone correct something or help someone? Answer: of course, because we influence nature with feelings and reason. With them we influence the world around us more than physically. Therefore, it is very important if we know how we are interconnected. Thus, we can be in a common integral interaction in a single system called Adam, so that the calls of the prophets to become one, as one person with one heart, are manifested in us. But this is all in the future. Nature sets this as its goal, and it will lead us to this. It will make us understand that we are a single system. Despite the fact that we exist in separate egoistic protein bodies, we will have to realize that we exist in one single energetic, sensory, spiritual field. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, April 19, 2020. Traveling to other far away places. Question: we say that traveling, fashion, and current pleasures are not needed anymore. What will we give people instead? What are we going to tell them? What will they get pleasure from? Answer: I offer you traveling in an absolutely different volume, in the spiritual one. You will be able to travel yourself, fly anywhere and however you wish through all levels, move from world to world, instead of just seeing this small, messy, smoky planet. You can feel what life outside the body means. It is all up to you. The coronavirus is a medicine that helps us rise to the next level of existence, to feel nature. So do not be afraid, there is something to compensate for your so-called loss. I have visited all the continents and dozens of countries myself, and I can say that nothing remains in the end. All this is needed only to fill yourself and forget. You will see, in a couple of months you won't even remember about it. You will be captured by the other unknown far away places. Question: and will the people from outside hear this? Answer: they will. The virus will do this, not us. It does not depend on what I am telling you. I am just informing you in advance. You will see in people how they will be drawn toward completely different far places. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, April 5, 2020. The tragedy of receiving for one's own sake. Comment: in the corporeal world, there are many desires and needs and one must seek constant enjoyment for them. In the spiritual world, on the contrary, there is constant abundance, and you need to look for things you are lacking. Answer: yes. In order to bestow contentment to the Creator, I always have to be willing to receive from Him. Question: it turns out that in this world we are always running around in search of pleasure. And in the spiritual world there are a huge number of them, but there is no desire. Where can I get it? Answer, there is a solution to this. In our world, the solution is to go to the level of spiritual reception, that is, for the sake of bestowal. In the spiritual world, you have an absolutely unlimited opportunity to receive for the sake of bestowal. Naturally, you have to build this over your egoism, but this justifies itself. Comment, in the corporeal world, we only experience pleasure for a few seconds. With each passing moment it gradually disappears and then you have to wait for some kind of desire to arise again. And in the spiritual world, as the Kabbalists say, pleasure is infinite. It is hard for me even to imagine this. My response, no. In the spiritual world there is a constant yearning to form a desire to bestow, and in accordance with this, there is an opportunity to realize it. Comment, the famous English writer Oscar Wilde said, in this world there are only two tragedies. One is not getting what one wants, and the other is getting it. The last is much the worst. The last is a real tragedy. Answer, when you receive, you are disappointed because the feeling of pleasure disappears. Pleasure is felt only on the contact between desire and fulfillment. And if this contact is no longer there, then the fulfillment becomes disgusting because instead of pleasure it brings suffering. Therefore, the wisdom of Kabbalah is based on how to receive correctly. A person receives only with the intention to bestow. There are two opposite elements together here, the desire to receive with the intention to bestow. If a person builds the correct correlation between them, which is called the Patsuf, then he has the opportunity for infinite pleasure, unlimited in either time, quantity, and quality. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, June 10, 2019. Spiritual world, enjoying the action. Baal HaSulam, thou hast hemmed me in behind and before. This means that the whole path of creation that the Creator created is regarded as two opposites in one subject, and all the combinations in the world were made in this way, and this is the whole of the act of creation. Therefore, nothing disappears in the spiritual world, everything remains. It is an eternal, perfect, ever-growing world. Question. In the material world, pleasure is gained only as a result of an action, and therefore, if we could, we would gladly give up the action itself. But in the spiritual world, is the action itself the pleasure and is it without any connection with the result? Answer, of course. Remark, but in our world, there are also such pleasures when a person is ready to do something for the sake of another. My comment, if there is love. My teacher gave such an example. Does the Queen of England have a desire to feed her little child? She does. Does she carry it out? She does. But she has 1,000 helpers, let them do it. No, she wants to feed the child herself because there is love. Any action, if accompanied by love, gives pleasure. And vice versa. Question, can this indication serve as a check for a person? Answer, of course. Therefore, even in our world, we do a huge number of actions out of a desire to please another, and then the actions themselves bring us pleasure. Question, that is, if I want to check whether I am in equivalence of form with the Creator, then I should not expect a result since the action itself should bring me pleasure? Answer, absolutely. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, June 10, 2019.